Advanced Antenna Systems Development. After receiving his BS in electrical engineering from Penn State University, he began working for Dielectric in New Jersey, formerly the RCA Antenna Division. He then obtained his master's degree in electrical engineering from Drexel University. John has 28 issued and over 10 pending patents. In 2005, he was awarded the distinction of joining the ranks as one of SPFX's master inventors. So we got the family up there, and now we have the PowerPoint. So, John Shadler.
All right, I'm going to be talking about polarization considerations for mobile TV. Over the last 2 hours, I've been hearing a lot about the implementation of ATSC, MH, but nobody's really talked about the antenna, so that's why I'm here. The success of mobile reception is going to depend on, number one, service reliability. How often do I have a signal? Service reliability is going to depend on spatial immunity of the receiver. Will I continue to have a signal as I move around and change the orientation of the receiver? The spatial immunity is going to depend on a high probability of signal strength, which depends on a good signal-to-noise ratio or the margin above the threshold in the receiver. So the margin is key. That's what we're going to be talking about. So here's the question. Can the choice of transmit polarization increase reliability of service? Well, we're going to be looking at horizontal, vertical, and circular polarization under the conditions of polarization mismatch and small-scale fading. I'm going to explain what that is in a minute. But first, before we can talk about the transmit side, let's try to understand what the limitations are at the receive end. So to do that, we modeled a phone, basically a handheld device, using HFSS, or high-frequency simulation software, to evaluate the radiation characteristics of the handheld. And what we found was that at both VHF and UHF, the small antenna inside your handheld really did nothing more than excite the circuit board of the phone at these lower frequencies. Now, that's important because what it tells us is that really no matter what type of technology is put into the antenna inside the phone, you're basically going to be stuck with linear polarization and dipole performance at the receive end. So, let's define what polarization mismatch is. Polarization mismatch is basically caused by the misalignment between the transmit polarization and the receive polarization. So if you have a linearly polarized transmit, linearly polarized receive, as you rotate the receive antenna around, you will be cross-polarized, if you will, to the transmit antenna. And when that happens, you basically have no signal when they're cross-polarized and full transfer when they're polarized. So that's the polarization mismatch. It basically measures the orientational immunity of the receiver. Small-scale fading. This occurs when multiple signals arrive at the receiver at the same time from different paths. It's basically scattered or multipath. Those signals add up vectorially at the receiver, and as the receiver moves around, they add up differently in different phases, and that creates a large signal variation with the motion of the receiver. So this measures the effect of the multipath of the receiver. So we did an experiment at Dielectric, which I want to talk about for the rest of this presentation. And the purpose was to evaluate the reliability of service of horizontal, vertical, and circular polarization in a depolarized fading environment. Okay? We transmitted horizontal, vertical, and circular polarization to a linearly polarized receiver, because we know that's what we're stuck with at the receive end, as we changed its orientation and its location. Basically moved it around inside this room. We did it in a controlled environment in the 60-foot anechoic chamber at our plant. Now what we did to simulate the scatter environment is we basically filled this chamber with metal. of all different sizes, shapes, and locations within the room. And we transmit it, circular polarization, vertical and horizontal, to a dipole, which simulates the phone, a linearly polarized receiver, which was placed on a long rotor arm. That rotor arm spun, continually changing its orientation. That whole setup was placed on a turntable, so at the same time, we were changing its location within inside the room. So we know that both the polarization mismatch and the small-scale fading produces this variability in the signal strength as the receiver changes orientation and location. So this is how we set up the experiment. Measured the signal strength versus the antenna's orientation location. Basically measured 1,800 points within inside the room at different orientations and locations. Then calculate the mean value of the data, and this represents the signal level that the system was designed for. Then you calculate what I'm going to call the variability spread, and that is the distance between some percentage of service. I'm going to pick 98% for sake of argument here, and the average value or the mean value of the data. This service line means nothing more than 98% of the data lies above that line. And I picked that arbitrary value for the time being so I could compare measurements. Then you have some threshold in the receiver, the point at which the receiver no longer can read the bit stream. The distance between the threshold and that percentage of service is your margin. That's what's left over. Now, I set it up this way because it's very easy to see. Decrease the variability in the signal is exactly the same as increasing your margin. Okay? Very important. Decrease the variability in the signal is exactly the same as increasing your margin. And what do we want to do for reliable service? We want to increase our margin. Here's the actual data in both rectangular and polar form. First, transmitted horizontal polarization, changed orientation and location with inside the room, calculated the mean value, looked at where 98% of the data lied above, and the variability spread was 18.7 dB. Now, it doesn't really mean anything until we compare it to something. So we compared it next to vertical polarization. Did the same experiment, calculate the mean value, look at the 98% point. Now the variability is 19.7 dB, 1 dB worse. Why is that? Well, it's because, well, first of all, you would think vertical polarization would be better because of the omnidirectional characteristics of a dipole. But again, remember, we're talking about a heavy scatter, fading environment. Vertical polarization is much more susceptible to multipath than horizontal. Okay? And we live in a vertical world. We don't live in free space, unfortunately. Then you did the same experiment with circular polarization. You can just see by looking at the data the much smaller variability in the signal. As a matter of fact, it's 4 to 5 dB better than horizontal and vertical polarization. So, we can say here that CP provides 4 to 5 dB improvement in signal variability. And again, decrease the variability is exactly the same as the margin. And I said I picked 98% just sort of arbitrarily so I could compare data. But if you look at the data in terms of all different probabilities of service versus the variability, you'll see that that 4 to 5 dB spread, here's vertical, horizontal, and circular, that spread holds true all the way down through different probabilities of service. So, does this data make sense? Well, As probably some of you know, that mobile RF channels in a fast-fading environment can be modeled by either Raleigh or Ricean probability density functions. In this case, the experiment more closely represents a Raleigh. So if you look in a basic textbook for a Raleigh fading chart, which is probability of signal versus margin, we're talking about variability, he's talking about margin. To go from 90 to 99% probability of signal, you have to increase your margin 10 dB. That's a standard curve. Let's go back to the data. To increase your probability from 90, say at 8 dB, to 99, 18, you have to increase by 10 dB. The data follows a Raleigh probability density function curve. So far, everything's making perfect sense. So when I did this at the NAB, the first question that came up was, okay, what about elliptical polarization? So we extended this experiment to include elliptical polarization. And the question really is there an optimum amount of vertical component for reliable mobile service when you're transmitting to a linearly polarized receiver? So to look at that, we built a number of models with different amounts of vertical polarization. 4%, 12%, 23%, 34%, 45%, and 50%, which is full CP, and did the same experiment. Now here's the data. This is pretty interesting. The actual data points are up here, and I'm going to compare it to the horizontal and vertical baseline in terms of the margin improvement, which is exactly the same as the variability. What you will see is that if you put a smooth curve fit in between those data points, the optimum occurs at about 33% vertical component. Now again, this is in a heavy scatter, fading environment. That's why, and again it makes sense, the curve is shifted down towards horizontal polarization. Okay? As you start to take away scatter, go more into a free space environment, this curve would shift towards full CP. The other thing you can notice is that it's pretty flat up here. It doesn't travel very fast. So really, anywhere between 20 and 50% is going to get you that 4.5 dB margin. Okay? So, what about adding a separate antenna? This question also came up. Broadcaster out there, I've got my horizontally polarized antenna. Is there any benefit to me adding a separate vertically polarized antenna to my system? The problem with this is that the antennas are separated by a large distance, a horizontal vertical antenna. So you can't control the phase relationship between the two. And what you have is a phase difference here, which travels very fast as you move around on the ground. And what that does is that makes the axial ratio vary very quickly as you're moving around on the ground. And the axial ratio is basically a measure of the quality of CP. But the question still is there a benefit to it? So, let's compare it. This horizontal was the same data you saw before with the 18.7 dB variability. Circular with the 14.8. And guess what? The HV combination lies directly in between. So there's a benefit. It's not optimum. You gain about 2 dB improvement with a vertically polarized separate antenna. So, let's sum all this data up simply. And to do that, you're going to compare it to horizontal polarization, the baseline. Again, we're talking about a heavy scatter, depolarized, fading environment. Vertical polarization is actually 1 dB worse in margin. Separate HV, you gain around 2 dB in margin over your existing horizontally polarized system. Circular polarization, up to around 4. With the optimum, again with a caveat, in a heavy scatter environment, moving environment, elliptical polarization with 33% gave us the optimum with about 4.5 dB improvement. I had to throw a commercial slide in here, so I just want to talk about dielectric and the fact that we really are no stranger to circular polarization. Our technology roots come from RCA Broadcast and Harris. We are RCA, we are Harris, we inherited all that technology. In 1965, RCA introduced the first dual polarization from a single element, which was a ring-style FM antenna by Matty Sokola, similar to the one seen here on the side. In 1973, RCA provided the first commercially circularly polarized TV broadcast antenna. That was WLS on top of the Sears building. In 1984, RCA was awarded the Emmy for their work in circular polarization. In 1986, we developed the concept of the parasitically fed dipole, seen here. And that was pretty important because that allowed the broadcaster to economically add circular or elliptical polarization to a pylon-style antenna. Up until that point, CP and UHF was not very appealing just because of the options you had. Now we can talk about our infrastructure. Dielectric has over 300 circular or elliptically polarized TV broadcast antennas in the field. We have over 1,300 circularly polarized FM antennas in the field. We have over 500 circularly polarized mobile media antennas in the field, which is our newest business. And we hold over 30 patents related to circular or elliptical polarization alone. So the point is, we're good at this. It's our forte. Circular polarization is what we know. So let me conclude what we've talked about here. And you can say that spatial immunity is necessary to maintain a high probability of signal in mobile applications. Straightforward. High probability of signal can only be achieved by the large signal-to-noise ratio margin. You need margin. Margin is reliability. Reducing the variability is exactly the same as increasing the margin. Our tests showed that transmitting circular polarization to a linearly polarized receive antenna provided 4 to 5 dB of margin improvement in the depolarized, fading environment. The same test showed that the optimum range of vertical component is 20 to 50%, with the optimum in the heavy scatter environment being at 33%. And also, adding a separate vertically polarized antenna to your existing horizontally polarized system added 2 dB of margin. Again, not optimum, but not a bad solution. So, the bottom line, that 20 to 50% of vertical component will be essential for reliable service of mobile TV. With that, I'll entertain any questions.
Anybody?
Oh, Chuck.
In your studies where you used the chamber, did you vary the rate at which the receiving device was spinning or rotating in the vertical plane, and did that make any difference? I mean, trying to simulate something running down the highway at 65 miles an hour with somebody holding it to their head, that sort of thing.
No, it was all done at the same rate, which was a very slow rate to try to get pretty much an overall picture of all orientations and locations within a 10-foot area within inside this room. It simulated more of, I would say, an office building, room, or maybe even inside a car where you have a lot of scatter, that's very close.
Well, and that was my next question. I mean, you had tons and tons of scattering apparatus inside that chamber. How realistic is that across all environments across the country, or did you try to simulate a worst-case environment?
Well, that's a worst-case environment. But you can easily show that in a free space, stationary situation, vertical polarization would probably be best. I mean, that's known. As you start changing orientation, circular polarization is going to be best. So the question then was, and those two are pretty common and, you know, very easy to show and see. And the question was, okay, if you add orientation and location in a heavy scatter environment, you know, is circular polarization still add that benefit that you see in the other two cases? And the answer was yes.
I get the mic over to Tim.
Did you try modeling any other types of handheld devices? I know at the MPH demo and at the NAB show, they were showing receivers that had a retractable antenna that came out at a, you know, at a right angle to where you normally expect it to.
Yep. Well, the issue there is that it's still linearly polarized. You might have a a better impedance on the antenna for more capture of energy, if you will, but still it's linearly polarized. The point is, you know, circularly polarized antennas or elliptically polarized antennas get complicated. They take up space, take up room, and there just isn't room inside a handheld to accommodate any of those types of technologies. And we even talked about, you know, diversity in here, and having two antennas spaced, which you don't have the room to space them. So the point is, you're really stuck with linear polarization.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Thank you.